under the grimmest of circumstances have been whittled down to 39. Closing Guantanamo would remove a central symbol of America's so-called war on terror policies when it comes to detention, interrogation, and torture. Today, that facility holds two main groups of detainees, 12 whose cases belong to the military commissions, 2 have been convicted and sentenced, 10 await trial, and 27 who, after all these years, are still being held without charge. The truest forever prisoners of the so-called War on Terror, so labeled by Miami Herald, now New York Times reporter Carol Rosenberg, nearly a decade ago. In addition, the Biden administration has more than doubled the number of detainees declared and cleared to be released and transferred to other countries, while the military tribunals for all 4 pending cases have restarted after a hiatus imposed by COVID-19 restrictions. As long as Gitmo remains open, Americans' own homemade version of the so-called War on Terror will live on.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran, all big and small.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa Al-Bahadili and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program we discuss problems and questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, most of the answers are based upon the holy book of the Quran and upon the narrations of the Prophet and of the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is our guest speaker, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi from the Islamic Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. Today we'll be talking about how some parents unfortunately have a tendency to insult their children or humiliate them or critique them in a negative
fashion and basically breaking their children's heart. How can we as parents face this obstacle and also avoid it?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. We say that many of the great inventions and great ideas, they die before they get born because, for example, someone puts you down.
Right.
You come up with a fantastic idea, with a fantastic theory that could make a lot of change. And you go to your father excited and he says, what is this nonsense?
Right.
And then that's it, it dies out.
Focus on your studies.
Yeah, focus right. on your studies. So the problem here is that we do have some parents who they themselves, they were raised in a way where that their intellectual capacity is very little. They right. don't have, you know, they're not
thinkers. Creative thinking
or
process.
Thinkers, they don't have creative thinking like you said.
Right.
So they tend that anything passes them, they tend to put it down. Because right. when they look at themselves in a point of authority, they think that they are smarter than their children. Right. They know more than their children, even though they know inside them they are unknown. Okay, so for example, I'll give you an example. A lot of parents, for example, they act as if they know how to use the devices when the children ask them for a problem.
Right.
And then they come to me like, oh, how do you do this?
Right.
My child
like mobile phones like, and stuff.
I'm like, oh yeah. I'm like, why would you tell your child that you know how to do it when you don't? Right, because they just don't want to say I don't know, right?
Right, right.
So makes sometimes sense. This is an easy example, but sometimes, for example, the child he has the tendency towards, for example, art. He wants to be an artist. He goes and he's constantly drawing. Now his drawing, the drawings that he makes, maybe they're not, you know, fitting
strictly
from
Islamic?
Your standards, from the way you look at it. Maybe they're not
pretty
Picasso.
Pretty, right.
You know, he's not right. drawing the Mona Lisa.
Scribbles.
But he has like he has an idea. You know, for example, I've seen this sometimes when we do competition for kids and they would do a drawing competition and we'd ask them that they have specifically they have to give us a story with the painting.
Right.
You can see the idea is there.
Right.
I can tell. You know, they say, okay, this is what it means, this is what it means, this is what it means. And when I look, I'm like, I don't see this, right?
Right, yeah.
But it is in the mind of the child, but he's obviously drawing it plainly. Now, what I need to do is encourage that. But if I was simple-minded, I'm like, what is this nonsense? What is this rubbish? Go do something else. Like you said, go study.
Right. Right.
You know, go.
Just
go
dismissing them
yeah.
completely.
So and then you kill that, you know, innovative or this innovation in him or this love in him towards
right.
us.
Right. And on that note, they'll say, let's go ahead and say a quick break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing how some parents unfortunately put down their children in a completely discouraging way and how this is completely bad and perhaps even evil. Dear Sayyid, please pick up where you left off.
We were saying that as parents, we need to have an open mind. Now, if your child comes up to you with an idea, with whatever it might be, if your first response, it should be encouragement. Now, it doesn't matter how absurd and how stupid it might sound to you. Your first response, it has to be, you have to encourage them.
Right.
Wow, very nice. You know, mashallah, it's beautiful. You give them a word of encouragement. And that, you will see over time, it would develop. But if you shut them down straight away, whether you lack it yourself or you don't see the benefit yourself or what have you, it's not the right and appropriate approach to go with when it comes to kids.
Right.
So, and some parents, they don't even I want to consider the idea of, you know, even trying to think that they would let the children even ask them. And with a lot of parents, for example, there's a huge gap when it comes to even a child. He has an idea in his mind. He wants to do something. And even coming to ask in the first place. So either he was traumatized when he asked the first time,
right,
and he got a really negative response. He's like, okay, I'm not going to ask again.
Right.
Or he knows the way his dad works in the house, for example. I know my dad is a very angry man. Therefore, I'm not going to talk to him, you know.
Right.
So there's the gap already exists before, which makes it a lot worse. So we, instead of us doing the right thing by trying to encourage our children to be better at things, we end up making them a lot backwards.
Right.
So, for example, a lot of parents, they find out, even when it comes to the child weaknesses, if the child, for example, bad at maths, they don't encourage them to become better at maths.
Right.
They made them worse. Like, you're stupid, you're dumb,
you can't do this.
Oh, donkey. Like, whatever names. Like, because,
right,
yeah, a lot of people use animal names, sadly,
right,
to name kids. So, you know, if you're bad, you're going to become even worse.
Naturally, yeah.
Naturally,
you have no encouragement. Worse. You're not inspired anymore.
Yeah,
no motivation.
So instead of them trying to work out with you, trying to help you out, they make it worse is by just either calling you names or trying to put you down. So even in this case, we see a lot of people, that's what they tend to do. They're just constantly being negative towards their children and towards their motives, towards their creativity, towards their invention. So constantly putting them down. Now, obviously, in my opinion, that any parent who is constantly putting his child down, he has an issue. He needs to go see a psychologist himself and figure out why is he being so negative and why is he doing such a thing.
So pessimistic. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Just say, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing how some parents perhaps thrive on putting down their children whenever they are faced with a new idea or concept. Dear Sayyid, please continue the discussion.
Okay, so we have a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, where he says, don't treat your children based on you were treated, because they live in a time different than yours.
Right.
Now, this hadith itself is also one of the psychological hadith that we have to take seriously. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you a specific time.
Right.
Through that specific time, you had, you know, specific things, unlimited things. And therefore, your creativity, your mindset is also limited to the time that you had. So even though you grow, but as, you know, once you leave this 15, 20 kind of year, and you pass the 20, things start to slow down. Okay? You pass that milestone.
Naturally, right.
Your brain being full and, you know, being receptive to the world, so you become a lot less, and your child takes over. So because I lived, for example, I'll speak for myself, I lived in the 90s, we had so much limitation in the 90s, there's a lot of things didn't even exist, even the internet, for example, just came in 95, 94, Windows came in 95, like things were just very basic in the 80s and in the 90s. Now that's a very limited era, which means my capacity to think was limited to my time. Now, being in the 21st century, living in 2001, it's nowhere, you cannot even compare it to,
to
the 90s. Like, even sometimes when I talk to my kids about dial-up internet, like, what is that? What's dial-up?
Right.
They have no idea what it is. They've never, you know, that's like over 20 years ago. They haven't seen it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, my mindset is limited. Now, their time
So Amir Ibn says they were created and born a time different than yours, which means they will think differently. They will come up with different ideas. They will come up with different theories. They might come up with things I don't like. Why? Because either it could clash with my culture, could clash with my customs, could clash with my way of upbringing, and I might not like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, for example, me and myself, I had an issue with my dad when it comes to my hair. I used to like my hair very long. My dad hates it. Why? Because culturally speaking, and from their standards, that anyone who has long hair is a bad person.
Right. Like extremely bad person. Right.
Yeah. So my dad, he could not, you know, even though I'm like, Dad, that was like way back, like your time.
Way back.
We live in a Western country where people are almost without clothes.
Right.
And he's trying to fight with me over my hair being long. So he did not understand that concept that the kids are born in different age time. They need different circumstances. Everything has to change with them. So that's what we say, that parents constantly have to keep in mind that kids are not born the same time as their parents, and therefore they need to be treated differently, especially when it comes to putting them down at things. Okay, they might have problems themselves. They might need help in things. So you're constantly putting them down, and whenever they come up with something, you turn them down. You say, well, that's stupid, that's nonsense, da da da. Now that's not helping a child grow.
All right.
That's making a child.
Some children also have some, like, I'm sorry to this, but some actually stupid ideas.
We're not saying that kids will come up with perfect ideas that will change the world.
Right.
But you yourself, doesn't matter how stupid the idea is, the encouragement itself, it makes him think more active.
Dad
liked it, so let me do something even more. So what you're doing is you're actually pushing that standard of stupidity to a level where he's actually starting to learn.
Right.
Okay, if you say to him it's stupid, his brain will just go down, it'll lay out.
And with that, dear Sayyid, we will unfortunately have to end today's program. I thank you for your insightful knowledge. I also thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any questions, comments, or just some feedback, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parstoday.com. We also have social media accounts on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Take care.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Food for thought.
Salam, everybody, and here we present you words worth pondering upon from the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him. Faith stands on four supports. They are dependence upon God, entrustment with God, submission to the decision of God, and satisfaction with the acts of God. This belief stands on four supports. They are the desire for the worldly pleasures, fear from missing any worldly pleasure, anger and passion.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
As people around the globe are preparing for the New Year holidays, the Vatican lights up a Christmas tree and nativity scene set up on St. Peter's Square. People gathered around the square waiting for long hours to see the illumination. Even heavy rain did not stop them. That's while the official lighting ceremony was held inside the Paul VI Hall, where Pope Francis presides his weekly audiences. The nativity scene, made of more than 30 pieces, is created by Peruvian artists. The majestic Christmas tree is about 28 meters and comes from Andalo, northern Italy. The locals see the stunning tree as a symbol of hope and peace. The tree will be switched on every night until January the 6th. Scientists in Brazil have come up with a creative way to shore up the population of a majestic species of monkeys in danger of extinction. Brazilian conservationists have constructed a bridge to reconnect two sides of Rio de Janeiro's Atlantic forest. The road had effectively isolated a group of lion tamarins, but it now offers hope for the threatened monkey. There are only 2,500 golden tamarins left in the wild, all of them in Brazil. It is estimated that these animals have lost more than 95% of their habitat.
Childhood joy and lightness meet with art at a first-of-its-kind museum in Rome, Italy. Here, all kinds of art decorations are made of balloons. The exhibit dubbed Let's Fly displays a broad range of interactive artworks. In one installation, visitors are invited to find their inner child by diving into a pool of hundreds of small balloons. In another section, giant inflatable sculptures double as a playground for kids. Some installations move only by riding a bicycle. The museum is a place where artists and spectators coexist for a journey into a world of inflatable art capable of freeing the imagination of all ages.
It's the combination of art with childhood and adolescence that makes this place so magical. So they are art installations, but also games. The blurred line between the two is what makes the museum so unique.
The balloon exhibit incorporates innovative works created by 14 different artists from across Europe. The artifacts were created using hundreds of thousands of biodegradable balloons. Organizers say they want to increase environmental awareness by being eco-friendly, as all the artworks will be reused or recycled. The exhibit will run until March the 5th.
Chinese students receive a science lesson on their country's space station, and they are lucky enough to receive it firsthand from the astronauts living in the first and core module of the station. The class was held via a live broadcast shown on the state television. The three astronauts gave a lecture that focused on physics. They explained how the weightlessness environment affects the movement of objects. The astronauts also gave a tour of the station they arrived at in October for a six-month stay. It seems that their teachings were quite motivating. The students peppered their instructors with questions, including those about living conditions in space. China launched its space station in April and plans to complete it by the end of the next year. Christmas is just around the corner, and children are waiting for their presents. In Guatemala, Santa Claus has a new mode of transport to give gifts to children with cancer.
Today, as in the past year, we are celebrating Christmas with the cancer patients of the shelter. Santa Claus came in a helicopter to give presents to the children. It is very emotional for the children. The majority of them have never been so close to a helicopter, let alone Santa Claus.
That was an exciting experience for the children. The charity event was organized by an institute that supports cancer patients for remote areas in Guatemala. The institute says the event aimed to help the children go through their therapies with more ease. The Amazon River turtles are in danger of extinction, but environmentalists have come up with an initiative to save their lives, and that's by protecting their eggs. Climate change and human activities against their ecosystem have been putting these creatures at risk. Now, what the biologists and local volunteers do is that they recover the turtle nests from riverbanks during the rainy season to protect them from drowning. Then they take care of the baby turtles until they develop a hard shell and are ready to start their life journey. Batches of tiny turtles release into a river in the Amazon border between Bolivia and Brazil. They are now grown enough to protect themselves against different threats. Environmentalists have been doing this for more than 20 years, saving millions of baby turtles. This time they released 1 million of the little turtles. During the Christmas season, people around the world love to add a dose of joy in the form of Santas. Children especially feel ecstatic to see Santas distributing presents and snacks. But you will be amazed to see how one Santa this time dives into water to give well-behaved sharks and fishes their goodies. In Malta's National Aquarium, Scuba Claus, helped by an elf, plunges into a huge fish tank with his sack of treats to feed sharks and fishes. Santas ho 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 come out in bubble from through his snorkel over his white beard. The aquarium, located in the northern part of the island, hosts more than 175 different species of various marine animals.
Butterflies are probably the most popular among all insect species on Earth due to their beauty and color. Millions of the monarch butterflies have flocked to a Mexican forest, creating a magical sight, drawing tourists, scientists, and locals there. The monarch butterflies flee the cold winters of Canada and northern United States and travel thousands of kilometers to hibernate and reproduce in the temperate woods of central Mexico. Hundreds of trees crowded with butterflies can be seen along Mexico's 13,000-hectare monarch reserve after their long journey. However, experts warn of a drop in the number of the species. climate change is reported to have had an impact on their butterflies' migration pattern, as well as a reduction in their milkweed breeding habitat in the United States.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
With the Christmas season in full swing, hundreds have gathered on Spain's Gran Canaria island to watch stunning sand sculptures representing the birth of Christ. Eight sand artists from around the world have created the spectacular figures. It took them a week to complete the scenes. A huge sand wall is built around the sculptures to protect them. The island has been holding the event every year since 2006. The warm temperatures on the Spanish beach have helped attract a lot of visitors over Christmas. According to the organizers, at least 200,000 people have visited the exhibition in the past 15 years. A joyful day at an Australian zoo as a baby pygmy hippo is born. That's good news for the zoo staff because pygmy hippos are endangered species. Cambiri, the mother hippo, gave birth to the calf last month. It's her second calf, and the first one was born in a Sydney zoo 4 years ago. The newborn is yet to be named. It sticks to the mum and follows her wherever she goes. The calf is spending most of its time out of the sight of the public, as for now it's learning to walk and swim. And the mum keeps a close eye on the calf at all times.
The first few days, she did not leave the calf's side. Was very sedate, very quiet, and just looking after its every need. And only in the last sort of couple of days has she started to get a little bit more sleep in.
They are regarded as endangered animals because of illegal hunting and loss of habitat. Currently, less than 3,000 pygmy hippos are living in the wild.
Is it interesting to experience what Harry Potter went through at Hogwarts? Well, it could be, at least for students at a university in Pakistan kicking off a festival celebrating the fictional wizard. The students at Government College University made their 150-year-old campus look like the magical school created by British author J.K. Rowling. They put on costumes and set up decorations reminiscent of Hogwarts. The university's vice chancellor says the campus, with its vast halls and soaring archways, has always reminded the students of the fictional school.
Most of these youngsters, they grew up at the time when J.K. Rowling's work was being presented in the novels and then later on in the film. So that magical charm, that fantasy, they really enjoyed. They grew up reading that fantasy. And then when they come to Government College University and see these architecture, it reminds me of that Hogwarts that is being filmed in Harry Potter films.
The university officials spoke proudly of what his students have done. They were themselves happy too, calling their experience fun. Others said it was unbelievable to be in Hogwarts. The festival also screened Pakistan's first fan-made Harry Potter film made and acted by the students. The Swedish city of Stockholm has launched its 31st annual Christmas competition of baking gingerbread.
There is a limited in space, so it's 40 centimeters by 40 centimeters, and everything you build, all the material need to be eatable. So you can build with different things, gingerbread of course, but also candies and other things, but you need to be able to eat it. So that's one of the rules as well.
Each year, the Gingerbread House competition, hosted by ArcDesk Museum of Architecture and Design, has a theme for the designs. This year's theme is Together, attracting various interpretations of the topic. So far, the entries have included the Titanic, the famous coffee shop from the American TV show friends, an igloo and the Berlin Wall, all entirely edible. The event, which has been running for 31 years, is designed for all kinds of creators, such as children, young people, adults, amateurs, and professionals. The Tasty Exhibition runs until January the 5th. A Palestinian teacher has developed an assistant for himself nicknamed Mr. Robot, bringing joy to the children of a school in Gaza. Mr. Robot teaches the children of Al-Basma School about electric circuits and helps them memorize their lessons. Mr. Robot moves freely in the classroom, speaking Arabic to students and communicating with them as a friend. The teacher creating it says the aim was to stimulate creativity and innovation in his classroom.
Mr. Robot, as his name suggests, is the teacher's assistant and not his replacement. He assists in the education process by asking questions and giving answers, greeting students and interacting with them in all aspects of a class.
The teacher says at first students reacted to it in a strange way, but later on they said it was like a dream come true for them. Local engineers say the robot is the first of its kind in the Gaza Strip, where electrical tools and components are scarce.
Artificial intelligence has found its way into several aspects of our lives. Now, a French research team is working on a project to provide fishermen with intelligent trawls that could help them sort out fishes before they are brought to the boats.
The objective of the project is to try to provide a support tool for fishermen, because at the moment, when they put their fishing gear in the water, a trawl net is like a large net. It is towed behind the vessel for several hours without having knowledge of what enters the trawl net in real time. Namely, is it species that are targeted by the fishermen or not targeted?
The trawl has a camera that can capture footage underwater, which is then analyzed by a microcomputer using artificial intelligence. If targeted fishes are detected, the trawl will switch to fishing mode. But when there are no targeted species, it will switch back to flight mode to avoid having an impact on the seabed. Another feature of this technology is to identify and classify pelagic species. For instance, horse mackerel can be displayed in blue on the screen, while the sardines are shown in pink.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear friends, salam. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about drug addiction and drug addiction in the view of Islam. So please be with us. Today, Tuesday, is the 9th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. Corresponding to the 23rd of the month of Azar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of December, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment by recitation of chapter Al-A'raf, Verse 157.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الذين يتبعون الرسول
النبي الأمي الذي يجدونه مكتوبا عندهم في التوراة والإنجيل يأمرهم بالمعروف وينهاهم عن المنكر ويحل لهم الطيبات ويحرم عليهم الخبائث ويضع عنهم إصرهم والأغلال التي كانت عليهم فالذين آمنوا به وعزروه ونصروه واتبعوا النور الذي أنزل معه أولئك هم المفلحون.
Those who follow the messenger, the unlettered prophet, whom they find written in what they have of the Torah and the Gospel, who enjoins upon them what is right and forbids them what is wrong, and makes lawful for them the good things and prohibits for them the evil, and relieves them of their burdens and the shackles which were upon them. So they who have believed in him, honored him, supported him, and followed the light which was sent down with him, it is those who will be the successful.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Prophet of Allah said, "He who enjoins right and prohibits wrong is the wise gerent of both Allah and His Messenger on the earth." Imam Baqir alayhi salam said, "Verily, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong is the way of prophets and the method of good doers. It is such a great obligatory deed by which other obligatory deeds can survive. Other creeds can be saved. Bargains are lawful. Injustice are warded off, and prosperity can be filled in the earth."
Heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please, you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so.
Addiction to modern tools. The young Muslims of today are facing an ever-increasing number of plights, one of the most important of which is drugs. In general, it has been indicated, firstly, that since drug consuming inflicts tremendous losses, it is considered as forbidden or haram, unless medical emergencies and necessities require it. Secondly, buying and selling it is forbidden except where rational, lawful benefits are received, such as medicine production. It is noteworthy that based on the first ever report on worldwide addiction statistics released by researchers, drug addiction has reached epidemic levels across the globe, and there were 230 million drug users worldwide in 2020. The report found that drug takes a higher toll on productive years of life lost than does any other intoxicant. That means people depend on drugs not only die younger but also have poor health over a more extended period. Drugs affect their work, relationships, and consequently reduce their quality of life.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Regarding the positive effects of religious teachings on abandoning addiction to drugs, it must be indicated that now we find that, religiously speaking, many great Ayatollahs indicated that being addicted to inebriating drinks and to drugs is religiously forbidden, strictly forbidden, because they are very harmful for both of the body and the mind. Okay, and when both of the body and the mind are harmed and are affected by, I mean, such drugs and such destructive substances, nothing would remain for the person but just a flesh, I mean, just a body. And when people act not based on the faculty of rational attitude, based on reasons, based on the intellect, they would change from a human being into a beast, I mean, without exaggeration. Now we find that, I mean, for example, Ayatollah Ja'far Subhani indicated that according to a fatwa issued by the late Ayatollah Burujerdi, certain inebriating substances was religiously forbidden, haram. And Ayatollah Subhani says that not only those substances, but also even smoking cigarettes is forbidden and should be abandoned, because smoking cigarettes is really harmful for both the body and mind of the person. The late Ayatollah Behjat and the late Ayatollah Fazl Lankarani also believed in the same way.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Addiction as a spiritual disease. This is the title of this part. In Islam, the physical heart is seen as the seat of the spiritual heart. A clean and healthy spiritual heart is the recipient of God's mercy and grace. The Quran says, on the day of judgment, no one is safe save the one who returns to God with a pure heart. In another verse, God says, it is only through God's remembrance that the heart becomes calm. Prophet Muhammad is reported to have said, surely in the chest of humanity is a lump of flesh. If sound, then the whole body is sound, and if corrupt, then the whole body is corrupt. Is it not the heart? When does the spiritual heart become corrupt? In the same report, Prophet says that the prohibitions or sins are God's sanctuary, and grazing too closely to these sanctuaries will inevitably lead one to violate them. The Quran calls intoxicants the handiwork of Satan. According to this model, substance dependence will mean that the addicted person's self has succumbed to their satanic impulses, thus severing it from the spirit. A dead, spiritless heart does not remember Allah and does not yearn to return to Allah.
واشتد على العزيمة جوانه واشتد على العزيمة جوانه قم على خدمتك جواره.
We reach to tips for helping someone overcome drug addiction. Draw a line at their unacceptable behavior and compromises you are unwilling to make. Cutting someone slack is not doing them any favors. when they are needing to turn their bad habits around. It is not going to be an easy road to transformation, but it's going to be even harder if those bad habits are still getting support, however indirect or unintentional that support might be. Stay honest about what you're unwilling to tolerate and commit to those boundaries. Once your loved one is in treatment, you will have support for these positive boundaries on various levels through family programming and new habit building.
In order to counter the balance of these movements, to counter the balance of the bad friends, of the bad environment, of the bad atmosphere, we have to counter that with a good friend. Counter that with a good atmosphere. Counter that with a good area and environment where you will not be prone in falling into haram. This is why we talk about having Islamic schools. This is why we talk about having programs in the masjid. This is why we need to have after school programs. This is why we need to have our mosques constantly be in use. There are some parents, they don't want to take their children to the mosque. They don't want to take their kids to the masjid. Why? This excuse, that excuse. What excuse are you going to bring when you have lost the future of your son or your daughter? Bring them now that you can. And this is why we need to establish activities and programs for the sake of our children. Yes, we have these lectures, and alhamdulillah, many of the adults, they've heard these lectures a million times. They don't need to be reminded. We need to have our Islamic centers focus primarily on the children, on the youth, and on the teenagers, because that is the age where the risk is the most. And one of our duties in our communities is to establish Islamic schools. Who knows what happens in these schools? In the public schools, who knows what happens? Can you guarantee that your children go into these schools and leave without their morality being shaken? Go and look at what the children from a very young age are starting to wear. Go and look at what's being promoted in these schools. This is why we need to invest in a school. This is why we need to invest in programs for our children and the youth.
We look at the addiction in the view of Islam in the program of today's special. Inshallah, we continue this topic. Thank you very much for joining us till this time, and till another chance to say salam. We leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
Some might say this world today is sure. God's left us to our mistakes, oh, but He's never been so far away. Some might say, how could any father stand? See his children across many lands suffer so, give no help in hand, no help in hand. Somewhere tonight, far away and out of sight, there's a child that's too weak to cry. Deep in those eyes, can't you see him in disguise, reaching out to the heart that's in you and I. In every tear that is wet, he is there. Every tear
you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.